group full of people, especially those that are like me and probably recognize a whole lot of stuff I can't see of myself. And so I get nervous. I get a little self-conscious. And like when I first came in here, I think I'm the center of attention. And I wanted to sit in the back of the room because I thought everybody would be talking about me if I was sitting up front. You know, I was at, go figure, you know, go figure. But it is our unity that brought us here. And it's kind of fitting that, for me anyway, that I ended up with having the opportunity to choose a spiritual speaker or ask him to speak for us. Although the programming committee and we threw a bunch of whole names around, this gentleman seemed to come up as the one we thought would probably best sum up the weekend and who we are. And I spent, I didn't get to spend much time with him, but I did sleep with him every night in the same cabin. along with six other gentlemen. But I think they need to go see a doctor for their urinary tract problems. Because you guys woke me up about 20 times a night. I love you all. But this morning, I said, we were talking about it in the cabin, and I said, you know, could you imagine if we were all here using? By Saturday night, there would probably be cabins burning, gangs would be, you know, camps would be forming, and it would look like Mad Max by Sunday morning on the Thunderdome. Yeah. And despite of all that, you know, the possibilities. What I have found, though, because I haven't had much time to stop, because we just try to make the thing happen, I didn't get to talk to many folks, not even the guys I sponsor, but I felt you. And that's the most important thing. That's what I've always felt here, and that's why I'm here. And the gentleman Mark that we asked to speak does the same thing, and that's why we thought he was fitting for our spiritual speaker. So with nothing more, the rest will tell the tale. I give you Mark from Miracles Happen.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mark. And I am so glad that God is still in the miracle working business. If you're new and you don't believe, just believe that we believe when we come together in Narcotic Anonymous, something special happens. Something that can't fully be explained. I'd love to just be able to stand up here and tell you exactly what and how and... Yeah, I mean, if you sat here and you heard the reading of the literature today, you already heard the message in Narcotic Anonymous, right? True miracle is the fact that we're all up here together and ain't nobody getting high. I'd love to like stand up here and think that I am the message. I'm just another recovering addict trying to stay clean a day at a time. I went for a little walk this morning. I was going for a little walk by myself and it's how like we just help one another. And I was just trying to get off to myself so I can unwind. My stomach was in knots. I'm still the guy that, like, I'm a shy, timid individual. You need to know that. I don't know what happens when I get up at this podium or behind. I don't know what happens when I get in front of y'all that like, God sees fit to use me. He done took a nobody, stood him up in front of everybody. To let you guys know that there's somebody that could help anybody. And it's directly to our message, and it's what had been read at every meeting, that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose a desire to use, and find a new way to live. And it's a message of hope, and it's a promise of freedom. And I can't quote a verbatim, but it goes on to say something like you guys was reading. Because after all is said and done, it's all we have to give is our message, our experience, our strength, and our hope. So I want to share a little bit about like what my weekend was like. I want to sum my weekend up for you guys. And then maybe I'll go back and I'll share a little bit about like where I came from, what happened and what it's like today. I started out on a little walk after breakfast by myself across the field. My friend came running out and she said, Mark, Attic Alone is in bad company. She was just looking out for me. She seen me walking out by myself and she was kind of like looking out for me and she knew she had called me to speak for her one time at her home group, and I was all the way across the field, and she said, I can't hear you. She started walking towards me. So I stopped, and I started walking back towards to her so that I can tell her, like, I'm just trying to get alone to myself so I can unwind and gather my thoughts and maybe, just maybe, like, allow God in to work through me this morning. Whew. I walked up this hill, and on the way up that hill, there's a little clearing off to the right. And I was going up here to pray. I was going up here to invite God in. And I had already prayed this morning several times. This morning, I prayed with two gentlemen that is very, very special. And we was in the kitchen, and we was all getting coffee, and we held hands. And we said a little prayer. Each and every one of us said a little prayer. About inviting God in, allowing him to work in our lives. I know, look, there's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind that, like, only through God and Narcotic Anonymous that I stand here today, right? And on the way up this hill, I walked into the clearing, and as I, that would be my sponsor's van. I love you, man. I thank you for being here for me, and thank you for being here to support me and helping me, like, stay grounded in this program. But I walked into the clearing and I looked around, and it was real evident that, like, it was what God had done. Because I looked around and everything that I had seen was like, it was nature. It was, you know what I mean? It was the trees. It was the rolling hills. The sun was shining. It was the grass. It was the weeds. Gotta add them in there. And I was just trying to get with it. Like, I was trying to get with it. Like, that God is still in the miracle working business. And I looked down at myself. And I looked down at myself. And I started to realize for that instant that, you know what? I'm a child of God and I'm God's work. Look, don't think for 1 minute standing up here you're looking at a finished project. You're lucky. I'm not a finished product. God ain't done with me yet. He's still working with me. He's molding me and he's like smoothing out some of my rough edges and he's kind of tapering some of the ones where I really need to be a little sharper because I'm not like the sharpest tack in the... You know, things go over my head real, real easy sometimes. And as I stood there, and all I could think was that, like, you know what? Just like he's molding me, he's molding you. Right? And he's molding us similar, but unique in our own way. Unique in our own character. Unique in our own defects. Unique in our own way of thinking. Unique in our own process of recovery, because recovery is a process. You know what I mean? In you guys, like the theme, you know what I mean? The Laurel Mountain Highlands spiritual retreat, the unity retreat, the journey continues. So that's how my weekend started, right? The journey continues. I'm coming up here, and they had clear directions written on the back of each and every flyer that went out. So I read them while I was at home. I said, I better take these with me. So I had two. I put one in my back pocket, and I put one on the front seat of the car, and I commenced to coming up here Friday afternoon. I got on 219. Now I knew, you know what I mean? I'm coming out the turnpike. I'm getting off exit 10. I'm going north from 281, 219, 601. Bam, right there's going to be some signs. And I get on 219 and I look up. Now I didn't fail to see that you take the Jerome exit on 601. The first exit I seen on 219 was said 601. So I got off. And I'm not unique. You need to know me, like a lot of other people, got lost on the way up here. the journey continues. What was an hour and 40 minute ride? Somebody told me it took them 5 hours to get here. I'm on 601 and I know I'm headed in the right direction because I'm on 601 North. And now I don't know that I'm taking the scenic route. But this is what happens to me. You got to know what happens with me. When I don't always have clear evidence, and it's why I like back to the theme that they like brighten the path. When I don't always have clear evidence to brighten the path, I'll get fearful, I'll stop, and I'll turn around. Not just when I'm driving on the road, in the process of my recovery. If I can't see that you guys been here before me, I'll get fearful, I'll stop, and I'll turn around. What makes my sponsor so important that at times I can't see where I'm headed. I know I'm headed in the right direction. I'm on the right path. I'm on the road to recovery. I'm no longer on the road to nowhere. Every now I need to call and say, hey, man, this is what's happening in my life because I can't see the outcome. I'm the guy. I got to know what's happening. So I'm driving on 601, and now I figure time I get up to Route 30, I figured out, you know what, you done something wrong. So I see a cop. I ain't afraid of cops today. I ain't used, look, my clean date December 11th of 1990. I ain't been high in 12 years. I ain't been arrested in 12 years. You know, I've been pulled over a couple times. I see a cop, but he's writing somebody a ticket, so I don't want to bother him while he's busy. The guy that was getting a ticket probably would have loved that. I turn around. I go back to my starting point where I figure I went wrong, right? But now my clever mind, instead of going all the way back to 219, I go a block or two past on 601. Well, maybe it's the other way. The directions is right on the seat. Go to the Jerome exit. I'm down in Jenner, down there somewhere. Well, the bright addict I am, you need to know. You know what I mean? I'm hard-headed. I've got to bump my head a couple times before I start seeing the light. The path can be bright as it want to be. I go around with blinders on. I turn around. I had to miss the harmony. I had to miss the sign. I just had to miss the sign to the camp. That was all. It's right there. I just didn't, you know what I mean? I'm here. I'm in the ballpark. So I go back on second to here. I go again. Step two, right? Try something new. I'm going to go this time, but I'm going to go a little slower, and I'm going to look a little better because that sign is on the right. I ask him to put this thing down on the floor because a lot of times when I talk, I move around a lot. That 4x4, I was afraid I'd fall off of there. Time guard kick in, and I'd be over here, and I might want to do the vicious cycle. Where I'd be up here and back here. I don't know. I go the same way all over again. Talking about addict behavior with time in a program. I'm going to do the same thing, expect something different to happen. And see the sign this time. I don't see the sign. So, I ain't afraid to ask for help today. I went into the little convenience store that I had got to, and I asked the girl, I'm looking for Camp Harmony, and she started telling me a different way. Then I knew what the directions had said, and the directions are still on my front seat and in my back pocket. I need glasses to read today, right? Don't dawn on me. Put your glasses on, read the stuff all over again. So I get the bright idea. I'm going to call 411, right? I call 411. I want the number to the camp. They give me a bad number. Good addict that I am, I call 411 back. I tell them, would you give me that number again? I'm still kind of like repeating this. I'm doing everything twice here still. It ain't clicking. Finally, I get somebody from the camp on a right line. I think after about 3 or 4 tries to 411, the girl said, I says, I'm lost. I'm trying to find the camp. The girl said, well, where you at? I look around. I say, I'm by the cornfield somewhere. I don't know. And you know what I mean? And finally, I come to my senses. I pick up the information pamphlet. I pick up the pamphlet. It tells me go to the Jenner exit on 219. So I go all the way back to 219. I end up finding out that I was a couple exits short of where I should have been. You know what I mean? Always a couple bricks shy of a full load. I don't know. So that's how this started. And then I got here and I found out that I ain't the only one that had trouble finding this place. The journey continues. We're not unique, even though we're made unique in our own way. I'm just like you. Just like you. I'm another recovering addict trying to stay clean a day at a time. I got to do the same thing you got to do if I intend to stay clean today. I was taught real early in this program. You want to stay clean, you pray, you go to a meeting, you don't take nothing. But if you want more, the message is hope and the promise is freedom. Not just freedom from the drug, freedom from an active addiction. Freedom from the fear, freedom from the shame, freedom from the guilt, freedom from the insecurity, freedom from the low self-esteem. Freedom from all that stuff that kept me stuck for so long. The false pride, the not wanting to ask for help, thinking that I'm too smart for my own good. I love this program. It's been a beautiful weekend. All day yesterday, I was just watching miracles. I watched you. Watched you with your son. And I listened to you share about what had happened and how that whole thing unfolded. Miracles do happen. You know what I mean? It was another guy. I watched the guy who spoke last night. I watched him with his grandson. And we were sitting in a meeting together, and his grandson was out on the road through the woods, and I seen him get up, and he looked down through the woods, and I could see that, like, okay, that must be his grand, because we had a nice talk. We had a nice talk about the theme, and, you know what I mean, the flame, and the sun, and, you know what I mean, and we were talking about the path, and how, like, there's more than one path to the river. Whether you're going to swim or whether you're going to drown. Wow. I'm telling you, man, you guys just filled me up this weekend all the way. I told you the story this morning. You know what I mean? Looky, you need to know miracles in this program. A girl told me yesterday, she said, I got lost on the way up here. I looked up and there was this guy and he was just glowing. Brightening the path. She said, I asked him, this is where I'm trying to go. He said, I'll do you one better than tell you where it's at. I'll take you there. So I told that story to a friend of mine this morning. I said, you got any idea who that guy is? He said, mm-mm. I said, you sure you ain't got no idea who that guy is? He said, well, maybe. Talking about the humility that comes into play, man. People do the unity, how we come together. You know what I mean? Look, God will take the nobody, right, to brighten the path, because there's a lot of path that leads to the river. He got a way of lighting them all up. He got a way of lighting them all up. Sometime he'll take another recovering addict, put him right there to show me the way. This is the way. This is, look, how it works. This is the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. Can't fully be explained. But it works. And my whole weekend has been like that, man. Just watching you guys interact. And I didn't see no, yeah, you know I mean, the friction. I'm not a finished product. I'm not a finished product. My mother, when I went to treatment, my mother gave me this. I went in treatment. She wrote me this little handwritten note. She said that a gem starts off as a rough stone. And it takes a lot of time and a lot of friction to make a beautiful gem. So I'm not no beautiful gem yet. But I'm getting there. Child of God. I know that in my heart. Human being, flesh and blood. I came from him. What I need to be doing in this life is trying to get back to him. Maybe that's the time and the friction that it's going to take to make me that gem. Will I ever arrive? I don't know. The journey continues. Just what my weekend been like, man. And then I got up this morning and it was just happening. It was, I'm telling you, I came out and I seen you. And I seen my friend Chuck. And he was one of the guys that I prayed with this morning. You know? And Tom. And Tom, we was in the same cabin together. And we had a chance to share some real personal, intimate stuff. You know, and we come to realize that, like, you know what? My experiences ain't all my own. Sometimes God puts me through stuff to stand me up and let somebody else know I've been through that and I didn't get high. And sometimes it hurt. And it ain't always like them good. Sometimes it's painful experiences. But he knows that he done already instilled in me everything I need to get through the day. I used to get up and say, a friend of mine gave me this, you need to know none of this stuff is my own, right? I went the whole weekend like, you're going to be the last speaker. They're going to say everything there is to say. There's been some powerful speakers this weekend. Wow. I used to get up and you know what? I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God for a little bit of help. Get up in the morning, I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to say, God, give me a little bit of help. And my friend said, Mark, if you got up this morning, God done already gave you a little bit of help. He already knows what I need. My prayer is help. My prayer is help. Would you help me? I don't know how I ended up the way I ended up. It's been a beautiful weekend. You guys have really helped me to like my connection is right there today. It's on. And I know ain't nothing can happen to me today that God and I can't handle. And he's with me. And I'm with him. And he's in me. And it's like, whew, my path is bright. Path is bright on the road to recovery. So that's where I'm at today. That's how I got lost and got here. And I sat around all day Friday and all day Saturday listening to some of the most powerful speakers that I have ever heard. Listening to some of the most dynamic meetings that I have ever sat in. My friend said this morning, ain't no such thing as a bad meeting. That's what you said. I sit there and I heard you and I was like, you know what? He's right. You know what I mean? What am I getting out of it? What do I want out of it? Look, I'm 46 years old. I grew up in Homeward Brushton. Homeward Brushton's like any ghetto USA. Drugs is easier to get than a loaf of bread. Start using when I was 13. I didn't stop till I was 33. 20 years went by, can't be accounted for. When you ain't going nowhere, any road to get you there. And it's where I was headed. And it was a dark path. No, the path wasn't bright. It was dark. It wasn't all that lonely. All y'all was on there with me. We just kind of like, you know what I mean? We was all headed in the same wrong direction, just not at the same time. I love this program. This program's really helped turn my life around. I use everything to hit the streets of Homeward Brushton. It's the kind of addict I am, right? You need to know I like smoking stuff. Somebody asked me, well, what was your drug? I like smoking stuff. If you can smoke it, I'm in. Count me in. I don't know. Just how it all started out. You know, it started out with me and the guys in the neighborhood. We was young boys. We was 13. We'd all get together. We'd pitch in by a nickel bag of reefer. Back then, a nickel bag of reefer get this whole room high. We'd go behind the elementary school in the neighborhood. I asked myself, why did we go behind the school to get high? Because we knew what we was doing was wrong right out the gate. And that's how it started out. We started out real, real innocent. Ended up on the side of the bed, December 10th of 1990. Clean day's the first day after the last day you used. Sit on the side of the bed, and I was just crying because I didn't understand like how everything that meant anything to me. I destroyed everything that meant anything to me. I didn't know where 20 years went. And I sat there and I cried and I said, help. That was all I said. I said, help. I didn't throw up no foxhole prayer. I didn't promise him nothing in return. I didn't even believe. And when I needed him the most, I deserved him the least. And he helped me anyway. The God of my understanding don't put no conditions on me. He tells me, come as you are. I'm telling you, I didn't have no faith. And I asked for help and he gave me some. I was sitting there and all of a sudden I got this bright idea. Well, why don't you call a rehab? And I looked around and I said, well, where did that come from? It wasn't an idea on my own. And I called a treatment facility, and treatment is great. I think everybody that needs treatment should get treatment. Treatment got me clean, but it's Narcotics Anonymous that keeps me clean. They put me in an inpatient program for 14 days. After 14 days and $14,000, they told me, go to a meeting. It's just the way it happened. I found out, if you're in treatment, and I don't want to give nobody carte blanche or, I found out that the answer in treatment is whatever they ask you, say, I'm going to pray, go to a meeting, and I ain't going to take nothing. Perfect answer for anything they ask you. And I got real serious about this program. I came into Narcotics Anonymous. It was for the second time. I told you I was a guy that kind of like repeat the same mistakes. But I tried to get clean in 1988, November 1988, Thanksgiving. My wife, my ex-wife, she's my wife, right? She said, if you don't do nothing about your problem, you got to go. But something about being powerless over our addiction. Sat at the table. I couldn't leave the table. I sat at the table knowing that my kids needed me. True powerlessness. Sitting at the table knowing that my kids need me and there's Coke on the table. Can't leave the table. Sitting at the table knowing that my wife's going to leave me. But it's Coke on the table. Can't leave the table. Sitting at the table and my job has already told me, if you don't show up tomorrow, you're fired. And it's Coke on the table. Can't leave the table. Sitting at the table knowing that any one of these can bust my heart, put my life on the line, can't leave the table. And that's how I was, and that's how it started out for me. And when I came back to this program, like, them 2 years between 88, because there's something about denial. Denial is a failure to see the reality of my situation, right? It's a beautiful thing when you don't know. But once you know, and we know that you know, then there ain't no more excuses. Something about, like, when you come out of denial about being an addict and having a drug problem, you can't go back in. The one thing I learned, you know what I mean? And I had a book. You need to know I'm an intellectual, right? I finished high school some kind of way. I'm the guy that, like, think I can read and understand. I went to Howard University for chemical engineering back in the 70s. I'm nobody's dummy. Most addicts ain't, right? I read the basic text from cover to cover. I thought I knew everything there was to know about recovery. And then I commenced to use them for 2 more years. Worst 2 years of my life. Once you get a little bit of knowledge about this program, getting high never be the same. I used to, one, the thing that stuck with me was that, like, one is too many and 1,000 is never enough. And once I knew that, you didn't want to be getting high with me. Wasn't enough on the table for the both of us. I would share for a little while, but the smaller the pile got, something about this program just can't fully be explained. Like in sure, it's a program of feelings, and it's like the empathy thing is like that life force that we pass back and forth to one another some kind of way. I don't know how it happens. I'm telling you, I wish I could explain it, but I can't. All I know is that it happens. It's what a miracle is. Something can't fully be explained. Didn't come to me in no burning bush. When stuff that can't fully be, it goes one, can't fully be explained, right? And this is the stuff that makes us similar. This is the stuff that makes us similar but unique, right? When you get to your last one, when you're sitting at the table and you get to your last hit, and you ask, there's a feeling that comes over me, and I ask myself this question, what am I going to do now? It's a feeling that can't fully be explained. You know what I mean? And everybody might do something different, except you good crack addicts. Cut it in half. Bam. That's what happened every time. I don't care how little it got. Cut it in half. It's that sense of security that I'm sitting there with two. I love this program. You know, in this program, my sponsor told me Narcotics Anonymous is about action. Because I'm up here, looky, don't think for 1 minute. I could talk a good game. You know what I mean? We learned that in the street, right? Watch me. Get to know me. Watch me. If you see me doing something that, like, you know what I mean, pull my coat on it. Hey, Mark, that ain't to say that I'm going to stop doing it. Tell you I'm not a finished product yet. I'm doing the best that I can with this thing. You know what I mean? But my sponsor told me that this thing is about practicing spiritual principles. And the spirituality thing, look, you need to know I'm the last guy that thinks I'm a spiritual guy. Right? I'm the guy that does everything I can humanly possible to have my life go my way. That's just who I am. I'm connected with God. I believe in God. I believe in practicing spirit. I believe in honesty. You know, it starts out showing up, telling the truth, but it goes a lot. This stuff is deep, right? But y'all told me keep it simple because I'm too smart for my own good. I'll take that one little thing and I flip it, flop it. I want to read between the lines and I don't know. So he was teaching me honesty in the first step. He said the first step is we admitted we was powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. For me, that means I can't get high and live. Anytime I start getting high, my life gets screwed up. And based on honesty, I quit trying to control situations in my life. I surrender spiritual principle, right? Here goes surrender. A lot of this stuff, and I didn't know this for a long time, a lot of this stuff is stuff I was taught as a young boy. You know, stuff that was deeply instilled in me. Just like the addiction, the 20 years of addiction is deeply rooted in me, and I had to get that stuff up out so that something new could come in, right? I was talking with a friend of mine, and she was saying, how come she can't receive the blessing? You know what I mean? Because I'm holding on. I don't want to let go of what I got. I got to let go of something in order for God to give me something new. I was holding on to 20 years of active addiction. Like I really needed it. It was learned behaviors of the street. It was the way I was brought up. It was still, you know what I mean? It was to like lie when the truth would suit you better. But the surrender thing was like as a young boy in the bigger guys. And I grew up in the neighborhood. We was 8 guys. We was all the same age, right? But there were some guys ahead of us. They was my older brothers. Right? I'm the youngest of 5 kids. I got 2 older brothers. Both of them's dead today. Could never learn from their experience. I don't know. But they would kind of like get you in a little headlock thing, and they would do the little noogie thing to your head, right? And they'd be like, say uncle. And this is what surrender. I learned surrender as a young boy. I didn't know that was what surrender was, because we come in this program, we tell you, you got to surrender, but we don't tell you how. I came in this program to read the first step. Don't ask you, can you read? Everybody come in here can't read. Just because I'm an intellectual. Too smart for my own good. But they used to get in and say, uncle, say uncle. And you'd be fighting and struggling. And I ain't giving up. Because that ain't what we was taught in the streets. Never retreat in battle. You know? And so I try not to give. You know, but when the pain get great enough, you let go. Okay, I give. Uncle. And they let you up. And you know what I mean? And the little head thing quit hurting. And the pain goes away. But that's how... Do you know what I mean? In everybody's process is different, but that's where I had to go to understand how surrender worked in my life. I didn't know when I came here, and I didn't know that I had to surrender to get to the acceptance in the first step. It was a friend of mine told me, he said, when you're struggling with acceptance, you ain't following the instructions. And I said, what instructions are you talking about? And he took me to the first part of the serenity prayer. Go to the God of my understanding and ask him to grant me. God, grant me serenity, peace in my heart and peace in my mind to accept, to take willingly, to endure without protest, to get used to that. That's the way it is and ain't nothing you could do about it. The things I cannot change. There's things in my life I can't change. And it's first step stuff. And what I'm searching for is just acceptance of things that's happening in my life. Because each and every day something happens that I don't have no control over. And it makes me feel some kind of way because I'm the guy that does everything I can humanly possible to have my life go my way. And when it ain't going my way, it don't feel good. Back to that feel good thing. That's why we used. I used to feel good. It was about the feeling. It was about the feeling that came along with the getting, using, and finding ways. There's a feeling that I used to get like, whew. Can't fully explain it. You know what I'm talking about. You ain't even got to be putting it in you if you got it. Get that just cop walk. I be like moving fast, trying to get to where I could put it in me. You know, I love this program. You know, I love this program. But when I'm in a position and things happen that I have no control over, y'all don't leave me stuck there. Y'all said, Mark, you don't have to accept everything. Some things can be changed. Well, how can that be changed? You need to go into a power greater than yourself. You need to just come to believe that a power greater than yourself could restore, could change things in your life. And what that meant for me was that, like, I came to believe that the process of recovery could work for me too. It was working for you. It was working for you. I was telling somebody, we were standing outside talking. This is the very first lead I ever heard in Narcotics Anonymous sitting here. I always say that because he's a real humble type guy just like you. Right? So you know what I mean? And I'm trying to practice being that, but he ain't going to tell nobody. Help Mark. Help me not even knowing him, man. He didn't know me, man. Took time out of his day to come in and talk to us. I'll never forget you for that, man. Somebody said, well, how can you remember that? Some stuff in your life you just don't ever forget. You're one of them. You're one of the people I'll never forget. Long as I... Never. There's a couple of you guys like that, man. Y'all have done stuff. Y'all have touched me in certain ways. You've said things. You've helped me along the way. I'm just so grateful, man. I just want to say thank you. Say thank you for helping me change my life. Thank you for brightening up my path. Thank you for helping my journey continue. Because if not for y'all, my journey ends a long time ago. I follow my brother's footsteps. And it's just what happens. I don't know. But I come to believe, and y'all was telling me to trust, and the trust thing ain't real, real easy. We came off the streets. We was taught for the 20 years of active addiction that I was holding on to. You don't believe in half of what you see and none of what you hear. And that's what I came in here with. So I didn't trust a whole lot of people. Just believe half of what you see. The guy stood up here and said he was 25 years clean. I was giving him 12 and a half. Okay, man. I'm just saying, that's how it happened, you know, but it was like based on open-mindedness, showing up, listening to what somebody else had to say, I began to trust that what you guys was telling me was the truth, that this thing can work for you too, man. This thing can work for me, it can work for you. I'm telling you the similarities and the uniqueness all in and of itself. If I can do this, you can do this, man. Fact. It's been proven, not because I'm standing up here. You know what I mean? Take a look around. Think I'm the miracle. Stop. Do like I done in the field. Stop. Take a look at yourself. Look down. Look down deep on the inside. Tell me something ain't happening that's never happened before. I don't know. The journey continues. The only way it stops is if I stop it myself. Okay, let me off. Turn around, go back to where I came from. Repeat the same mistake, expecting a different result. Return to the source of pain for comfort. Today, I don't know. You know what I mean? But it was a setup move. Y'all had me believing in something. Y'all had me trusting in something. And y'all told me higher power to give me freedom to believe anything I wanted to believe. I didn't know it was a setup. I didn't know the next step y'all was going to be talking about God. Made a decision to turn our will and life over to the care of God as we understood him. And y'all gave me a little more freedom there, too. You said you can believe in anything you want to believe. You can call him anything you want to call him. But what it was the, like, the willingness to continue in this program. I began to see, because you guys was brightening my path, I began to see that, like, you know what, this thing was working for me. And that if I just invite God in, this is God's loving hands, and then this is my little personal stuff. This is my God's loving hands. If I take myself and put myself in the middle, what could happen to me from there? Nothing. He done took his loving arms and wrapped them around me, and he's really got me. The guy I talked about told the baby jump from the steps, and the baby jumped. My brother used to have me do swan dives off of the garage. He was 6 years older than me. Jump, I'll catch you. And I used to swan dive off of a 10-foot garage. He caught me every time. Caught me every time. So I know that as a young boy, that there was some trust and that there was some faith instilled in me in something. But the learned behavior of the streets put it in the wrong direction. I had faith that the dope man was going to give me good dope. That one guy that I would call. I had faith that he was going to be good. He was going to give it to me for $35 a half. Sick. Sidetracked. Was never a bad guy. I just got sidetracked. I always had willingness. We had to do with, as a young boy, there was a football coach. And he used to tell us, you got to want it, son. And it's like this program. You got to want this program. It's a choice. Recovery ain't easy. Recovery is like coming up on the rough side of the mountain, but it's a clear and distinctive path to the top. It's the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous, but it's a choice, right? Because the God of my understanding has already gave me free will.
He said, you can do what you want to do. If it ain't right, you'll pay. So I step out and I live my life. You got me, man? Okay, I'm going to step out and I'm really not trying to, I don't intentionally want to hurt nobody. I love this program. You know, so I, in our literature, it says whenever we're faced with a difficulty that we feel we cannot get through on our own, we ask God to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Third step stuff. It's invite God help. I'm back on the side of the bed. I'm just saying help. I'm not promising him nothing. And it's real personal, and it's similarities and the uniqueness in and of itself. Some people will want to get on their knees. Some guys will lean over in their car. Some people will lay in the bed. Some people will stand up. Some people will sit down. However you invite your God into your life, if it's working for you, bring it. Let me know. Well, this is what works for me, Mark. Ooh. Maybe I want to try that. Because we was talking about the third step with somebody. And we was talking about the third step with somebody. Right? And so in the literature says, we went to more experienced members and asked them, what was it like for you to turn in your will and your life over? Right? They sent me to this guy. You go ask him what it was like. And they already knew what he was going to tell me. The guy told me, Mark, keep coming back and let God take care of the rest. It was so simple, it went over my head. 2 weeks had went by before I understood what the guy had told me. Just keep showing up. God's going to take care of everything else. The God of my understanding, he got me. He's, look, you need to know when come this self-will and God's will and free will and all that, when God wants to, he's going to have his way. He might give you a gentle nudge. I want you to go this way. Yeah, I mean, he might grab you by the hand and lead you. This is the path. Or he might actually shove you. But when he wants you to go, you're going to go one way or the other. And the way he wants it to happen, that's the way it's going to go down, regardless what you think, say, or do. And it's just what I believe. That's just my personal belief. Because a choice, I found out that a choice ain't something given to me by the people who think they in power. It lives inside of me, and I could pretty much do what I want to do if I could suffer the consequences. Well, today I'm no longer willing to settle for long-term consequences for short-term pleasure. There's a whole lot of things that I just refuse to do, day at a time. I love this program. You know what I mean? And I was moving on. Y'all had taught me by this time, trust God. Trust God. And then you guys had taught me that this thing is like, okay, trust God, clean house, help others. It's time to start cleaning your side of the street up. Because you could do the 1-2-3 shuffle around here forever and be miserable. You could stay clean, but won't no change happen. It says in our literature that recovery is active change in ideals and attitudes. Active change. Back to what you guys taught me about this thing being about action. You got to do something. So what do I do? I'm lost. Stop. Take a look at yourself. How did you end up on the side of the bed on December 10th of 1990? I don't know. Well, why don't you stop and take a look at, like, how you ended up where you ended up? Since you think you're a good guy that just got sidetracked. Just what I believe about me. So the woman put it to me like this. She said, this is fourth step. Simple stuff, right? She said that we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. She said that searching meant finding, that fearless meant facing, and that the moral part of this thing was the truth about me. And what you guys were telling me to do in the fourth step was to find and face the truth about me. Y'all were telling me that if I was going anywhere, I needed to know where I was coming from. That's why I couldn't find the place when the lady said, where you at? I didn't know. I didn't know where I was at. If I would have just pulled over and took an inventory, okay, well, I'm on, I forget what I was on, 985 or something like that. 895. I was on one of them little roads I shouldn't have been on. I was on the road to nowhere. I was going somewhere where I shouldn't have been. And I stopped and I took a look at my life. And when you come face to face with yourself, you might not like what you see. The beauty of this program is it gives us opportunity to change. And I found out some things about myself that was outright lies that I had told myself. Right? I went to college for chemical engineering. But I never finished college for chemical engineering. I didn't drop out. I flunked out. I was at college. I don't know how often I went. I don't know. But it was stuff that I started uncovering about myself. You know what I mean? I was in the Army. I was a combat engineer in the Army. I'm the guy, I tried everything. I'm telling you, I tried, nothing worked for me. Nothing worked for me, and it was uncovering the fact that, you know why nothing worked? Because I was using all along. You know what I mean? And I got busted. They came in. They called them CID. I don't know what they stand for, but they came in with these dogs into our barracks, you know. the lady Friday, she talked about Lexington. It's a prison now. They made me an offer I couldn't refuse. You just take this dishonorable discharge and we won't press charges. Well, that's real okay with me. Never mind your benefits and all that. I love this program. But it really gave me a chance to look at me and how I grew up under my younger brothers and under my older brothers and my older sisters. And how, even at the time that I didn't know it, God was molding me. He had his hands on me way back then and I just didn't know it. You know, and I was finding and facing the truth about who I was. And then you guys gave me another step. You says, okay, now go get honest about that's who you really are. And you told me that I needed to admit to God, myself, and another human being the exact natures of my wrongs, not what I did, but why I did it. And I really started to get in touch with, you know what, this is who I am. And that's why I can stand here today and I know, looky, I'm no longer confused about what and who I am today. You know what I mean? When I stand up and say, I'm just another recovering egg trying to stay clean a day at a time, that's what I mean. Little 12 years don't mean nothing. I walked past these women. These women was up here parking this car. Well, they was packing the car. They wasn't parking. They was packing the car, so weekend's over. And I was walking down with some other guys, and I looked over there, and I was, you know what? I bet there's 60 years of clean time standing over there. There were four women over there. 60 years of clean time was no doubt in my mind. And all I could think of, and it just dawned on me earlier, I was like, wow, that's some powerful recovery was going on right there. I should have been sitting in on y'all. I should have came to y'all's women's meeting last night. For real. I know I'd have been welcome too if I'd have just showed up. No addict turned away. Just blew me away. You know, but it was, what it was doing was taking me to a new level of honesty about myself. And when I get to a new level of honesty about myself, I get to a new level of honesty about you and the world around me. Yeah, I mean, I have no problem today admitting that, you know what, that's the way it really is. You know, I'm a human being, flesh and blood, right? My character is who I am. And y'all moved me on. Y'all moved me to become entirely ready to have God remove. And it was a willingness step. Yeah, I mean, I had to become willing to invite God in all over again. I had invited him in 3. So I didn't understand why 6 was so hard to invite God in, to ask God to remove all these defects of character. My character is who I am. It's what makes me who I am. I can't find no balance with nothing. I take everything to one extreme, or either it means everything in the world to me, or it don't mean nothing. And my sponsor, he's a lot of times asks me, you letting that roll off your shoulder? Are you really dealing with that? Or are you letting it roll off your shoulder? Because I'll get stuck, you know, and I just love this program, you know. But it was like the 6th step for me was like, I need God. I need God. I know I'm messed up. Y'all told me I came in here with a fractured personality. The literature say that. He kept saying that today. Phil kept saying that. The literature say that. He ain't not made up. Better go read that book. I know. You know what? There's a lot of stuff about me that I still don't like. That's how I know God ain't done with me yet. And the more he changes me in one area, the more I rebel in another. And it just seems like it's a spiritual warfare that goes on the inside. He says, Mark, don't. And I struggle and I fight, because especially when defects are connected to the pleasure senses. Right? I got a thing going on with me. I got a thing going on, and I'm struggling with the letting go process. Because I don't want to let go. I mean, can't give me nothing new. I want what's right for me. I know he got something for me that, like, I know he's got a blessing that's like, my friend said he got a ridiculous blessing in store for me. I can't let go of what I'm holding on to. Got to let go and walk away. So hard. So hard. You know, so I, again, invite God in. And when I start to, like, realize that when I do things that don't feel good down in here, I know it ain't right. Something in here, it's that feeling, it's that something that happens, that and I just know it ain't right in my own heart. But you guys told me, okay, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? When the pain get great enough, you'll let go. All over again, here I am, back to that. You know what I mean? I'm holding on and humbly ask God to remove. Pray. Humbly ask God. That's pray if I ever heard it. God help. I don't want to argue with my kid's mother. God help. I don't want to beat my son up for this trouble he's in. God help. I don't want to fuss with my daughter over her new car that I got to pay for. God help. It just goes on and on. And each and every day, a day at a time, a situation at a time, I'm faced with, I got the ability and I got the opportunity to choose how I'm going to act or react in a situation. And I want to do right, but I don't always do right. So I need to continue to go to God and ask for his help. And I've done a lot of harm in my life through actions and reactions. And I burned a whole lot of bridges in my life. And you guys told me that, like, I need to make a list of all the people who had harm. You told me that everybody I came in contact with was at risk. Right? So my list got real long, real fast. It started out with my immediate family. And then it went to, like, girlfriends and friends and jobs and stores. And it got long real, real fast. You know, and y'all guys told me to just become willing, Mark, become willing to, like, set the record straight. You know, and by this time in my process, I've been around here for a while. Yeah, I mean, this stuff ain't something that happened. I'm talking about a process that has happened through years, a journey that has been continuing for years, right? And will continue to continue as long as I allow it to happen for me, right? Because I can stop the process as soon as I get ready. All I have to do is go out there and use. My friend said today, there ain't no room between 1 and 0. I love this program. By now, I'm loving my life. Things is going real, real good for me. And I want to be able to face my sister, you know, even though I've done the things that I've done to her. And I want to be able to face my father. We was talking about parents. My father died. My father died May 18th last year. My mother's birthday is May 19th. And I was talking with my friend, and we was talking about the grieving process, you know, and the making amends. I'm almost the man he wants me to be. I leave room for improvement. I know in my heart that, like, he's watching out and watching over me. He wants me to do good and be good. He just wants me to stand up and be a man. Same way I want my son to do. I got a 20-year-old boy. He's driving me crazy. You know, and he's a good boy. At heart, he's a good boy. You know, but all of the bridges I burnt, the steps give me opportunity to rebuild that through forgiveness, to ask forgiveness and to rebuild that process. You know, and my oldest daughter is 20, and it don't work all the time. My oldest daughter is 27, okay? She was my first amends in the 9th step. I got in touch with my daughter that I hadn't seen for 16 years, right? She was 18 at the time. And I told her that I know I hadn't been there to be a daddy, but if you want one today, you got one. These teenage kids is hard. She was like, after 16 years, you think I want to hear what you had to say? And we went to dinner, and I tried some few things. You know what I mean? She was getting her driver's license. I let her drive my car to learn how to drive, and it didn't work. It just didn't work. I haven't talked to her for a long, long time. And I'm okay with that. You know, but I continue. I continue to, like, take my – we took a personal inventory, and when we was wrong, promptly admitted it. I continue to look at myself so I don't end up in a corner. I can't come out clean. Each and every day I take a look at my actions, how I'm acting, how I'm reacting, and where I'm at in my life. And no, I'm not where I want to be. I mean, I know I always leave room for improvement. Always leave room for improvement. Because I haven't arrived. The journey never ends. It's continuous. And on this path. And you know what? It's the hardest thing in the world for me to say I was wrong. It's the hard. A lot of times it's easier for me to just say, you know what? You was right. It's okay. You know? And I stay on this path. I invite God in. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry it out. I invite God in each and every day, right? I know that like my conscious contact with God is being aware of what's God's work. Like I was when I was out in the field, I looked around and I just knew instinctively like this is God's work. You know, and what happens with me is that like I try today to do my best to do what's right and treat other people the way I want to be treated. And I believe if I'm doing that, then I'm somewhere in the realm of God's will for me. I believe that if I act justly, love tenderly, and walk humbly with him, I'm somewhere in the ballpark of where he wants me to be in his will for me. And it gets back. It's real. Recovery is real, real personal. You know, and we get this program and we invite God into our lives and he just kind of like takes over. Even when I don't want him to, he puts me in situations that I don't want to be in, but he makes me stand up and be a man. You know, and there's some things going on right now that, you know what, I'm pretty proud of myself most of the time. On this process, it talks about having had a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps. And I can remember a lot of times thinking I was having a spiritual awakening when I was having a rude awakening. I'm telling you, I sit on the side of the bed December 10th of 1990, and I would have swore that was a spiritual awakening. And that was a rude awakening that day. That, you know what, you got a problem you need to do something about. You know, so we try to carry this message to addicts and practice these. Everybody's got a niche. Everybody's got something to offer. I'm telling you, you guys have carried a message to me this weekend that was more powerful than I've had for a long time. You know, just seeing some of you guys, just seeing you was like, wow. You know, and it ain't always what you say or what you do. You know, but I just love this program. You know, I really love this program. It's been working wonders in my life. I just do the best that I can to like to live in a manner that I just want to be able to sleep at night. Something to be said for the ability to sleep at night. I've been experiencing a peace that surpasses all my understanding. I really don't know how I've been as like calm and as peaceful as I've been with all of the stuff happening. I got some stuff going on with my son. He's going to trial in October. My daughter's going back to college tomorrow. She's been driving me crazy. I've been out of work all summer by choice. Because I have a choice today. You know, and I know that, like, you know what? It wasn't until I started believing in myself. When I start believing in myself, this thing really, really start working for me. You know, it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to the movie. I'm going to go to the movie and then I'm going to shut up. Let me see. All right, I'm going to go to the movie and then I'm going to shut up. This weekend, I'm afraid of the dark, okay? You need to know I'm afraid of the dark. Well, I get up 5 o'clock in the morning, right? I get up, I come down to the shower. I'm the only one up, besides Phil. He's out running. 5 o'clock in the morning, right? There's a mouse in the shower room down there. Okay? For everybody who didn't know, I'm sitting in the shower room and I hear this noise, right? But right away, I start thinking, Jason and Freddy. Right? Jason happened in a part in a camp or something like this, didn't he? And I'm telling you where my mind went now. I'm about to get in the shower and I'm only going to pull the curtain halfway. It's where I went, you know? And that was like Saturday morning. Now this morning, yeah, I mean, I woke up a little late. It was 6 o'clock. The sun was up just a little bit more. Phil was already in there doing his little thing, getting ready to go around and stuff. I'm telling you. I heard this girl say this. And it's about believing in yourself, right? It's about believing in yourself. The guy in the Matrix name was Neo. Neo was the man. He could do anything he wanted to do long as he was connected. Okay? But he didn't know it, and he didn't believe it himself. So in practicing to do these things, he fell on his face time and time again. He got beat up. You know what I mean? But as his process went on, he started believing what everybody was telling him, that you're the one. God has chose you to be the nobody, to tell everybody that there's somebody that can help anybody. You are the one. Not me. You are the one. There's somebody out there. There's somebody said this. There's somebody out there that like needs to see you clean. When Neil started believing he was the one, watch out, wasn't no stopping him. He would like, ooh. Right? And it's weird to like, he could do anything long as he was connected. Long as I stay connected, there ain't no stopping me. I can do anything I want to do. Dreams come true. You know, I love this program, and I know that, like, the choice has already been made. You have a choice. It's already been made, or she wouldn't be sitting here on a Sunday morning in some big open space up in the woods. Choice already been made. I get stuck taking action. I already know what to do. I get stuck between knowing what to do and doing it. And in between that space, I catch hell. God don't close one door without opening another. But that's what it is for me. I'm stuck in a reservation of should I do it? The choice already been made. Go ahead and do it. The choice is to stay clean one day at a time. This is a beautiful program. This thing really, really works. I'm telling you, miracles happen. If you don't believe, believe that we believe. If you just keep coming back a day at a time, if you don't take nothing, your miracle will happen. You'll come to learn that, you know what? The miracle is ongoing and the journey continues. You'll come to realize that the path has already been brightened. It's been blazed. And that's why it's the fiery sun that's on the, you know what I mean? That's why it's the fiery sun on the back of the shirt. You know what I mean? Because you are going to be the one blazing the path for the one who comes behind you. For the newcomer who ain't here yet. When we get in this circle in a minute, we're going to say a little prayer for the addict who still suffers. And everybody's going to put up somebody that they want to see come. Put up somebody from your heart. Miracles do happen. I'm so glad that God's still in the miracle working business. Just take a look. Addict like me, 12 years clean. I would have never believed. Take a look on the inside. It's right there. Invite God in. Step out. Live our lives. Looky, this is faith. This is faith. When I stand and I look out into my life, and I really don't know where it's going or where it's headed, right? And I can't see where I need to step to, I'm going to step out there anyway, knowing that either I'm going to be standing on solid ground or God's going to teach me how to fly. Something about a friend of mine gave me this. I always say this, and I'm going to shut up after I say this. A friend of mine gave me this. He said, take it, use it as your own. It'll help you with your self-esteem. He said, we're all God's children, and God don't make no junk. Laurel Mountain Highlands, I love you guys. Thanks for the wonderful weekend. Keep coming back. Oh, man.